Karen Britton is Senior Vice President at E-Management and former Chief Information Officer at the Executive Office of the President of the United States. Karen, it's terrific to talk to you again. Thank you very much for coming on. How is your experience as a CIO in government informing the way that you will now work with the federal government in the capacity that you're serving now? Thanks for coming on, Karen. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, Francis. Thank you for having me. I'll say, having been a federal executive and a CIO at the White House, I have a very good understanding of the challenges that execs and CIOs face. And I do understand that there's a need to understand their customers, deliver key services while maintaining operations. And so in my role now in e-management, I want to engage in these conversations, help key government leaders position themselves to deliver, manage IT services more effectively and efficiently. And I want to position e-management as a pivotal business partner who could provide critical insights to help federal leaders support their missions. Some of the areas that I see are challenging are, for CIOs, one is balancing ability to drive innovation against the need to maintain secure systems, assessing one's organization's risk, and then utilizing data analytics to learn trends and deliver services to citizens.
How has the concept of innovation changed over the time that you've been in government and worked in the private sector, Karen?
Innovation is really moving with the speed of light. And I think that people, particularly CIOs, can't be doing business as usual. I think what we're now seeing is disruption is the new normal. So while IT introduces opportunities to achieve, you know, efficiency and cost gains, it also creates a level of disruption that was probably beyond our imaginations like a decade ago. So we're beginning to see more sophisticated devices, big data, algorithms. And what I believe is that we can no longer attempt to apply old school approaches like, you know, waterfall project management in today's ever-changing business environment. And instead of like focusing so much attention on blocking systems, we need to embrace technology. We need to be smarter about just how we go about doing it.
What are you seeing successful executives, either your peers in government, people that worked in your shop, or others, what are they doing to understand that concept of disruption as the new normal, Karen?
Well, I think what CIOs are striving to become is they're really trying to become ambassadors of collaboration and encouraging other departments to step outside of their silos and join forces. So I've always advocated for CIOs and chief procurement officers and chief admin officers to really work collectively with the business units and to create that dynamic team and step outside. So we're offering solutions when a program office or a business office comes forth with it, because it's the money, it's the technology, it's getting the right people on a project. And so I've been a proponent of that triad for a long, long time. And I think what we're seeing is across the CIO Council, the joining forces with the Chico Council and the procurement officers, because that really works in the end. And you do that up early, you tend to be successful.
We've seen that accelerate quite a bit in this administration, Karen, but it is not happening probably at the rate that your friends at OMB would like. They'd probably like to see it happen like 10 minutes ago. But what do you think is driving that? Is it just the understanding of the importance of that integration? Is it the stark budget realities that agencies are dealing with, or some other understanding that your colleagues and peers are having that are pushing them in that direction?
Well, I think the budget challenges are definitely there, so we've got to be smarter and be more efficient about it. I think getting out early to understand the problem set is really what we should be embracing. And it's more of this team concept, if you will, that helps it work in the end.
Karen Britton is Senior Vice President at E-Management and the former CIO at the Executive Office of the President, the CIO at the White House. The president's making cyber a bigger priority in his fiscal 2016 budget request, Karen, as you well know. How are you seeing the workforce challenges that agencies will deal with, either improving, not improving, or kind of staying the same in order to be able to execute that strategy, maintain that emphasis on cyber that the president's shooting for?
Well, today, at a time when public and private networks are facing unprecedented threat from whether it's rogue hackers or nation-state actors, we're really seeing the president unveil next steps in his plan to defend the nation's systems through things like what we've heard at the Cyber Summit. And so there are many challenges to keep up with the demand and need for the really smart technical cyber specialists. And I think we know that market forces are not happening fast enough in security. A typical security person is really paid the same as an IT person, yet the demand is so much higher. So even when the government makes an effort to grant agencies some sort of leeway by offering higher salaries and benefits, we still see the obstacles, the long recruitments, the vetting process, the background checks, and all the security clearances. That stuff tends to discourage potential candidates. What I think we're seeing more so as a trend in agencies and in government is really casting this longer net and reaching out to communities and students. And so we're seeing some agencies try to build the talent from within. And an example of that is through the Scholarship for Service program, where National Science Foundation has actually partnered with Department of Homeland Security to issue scholarships and grants to students specializing in IA. And so this, we've got to take on this model of impressing us to, it's almost like a make rather than buy cybersecurity professionals, because when you make them, then you get a chance to spend more time on grooming young cyber professionals. They come in, they get very interested in the mission sets of the organizations like NSF, like the DOD's Cyber Command, and you take these promising cyber technicians, engage them early, and then potentially grow them into some of these management positions.
And that fits actually with something that's not directly related to information technology, but Director Archuleta at OPM announced the READY initiative earlier in the week. We have details on that at federalnewsradio.com. But the E in READY is engagement, and it sounds like what you're suggesting would result in an extremely high level of engagement and on the part of somebody who says, well, they've really invested in me, so I don't feel obligated to stay, but I want to stay because I'm really kind of now embroidered into what the organization's doing.
That's exactly right. And that's what we've got to do. We got to get them engaged into the whole fabric of life of public service, which many people want to be part of. It's just getting beyond these obstacles. So I think that engagement, I think casting the net longer, wider, earlier, I think understanding that, you know, a position like a hacker, it's like you've got high school kids that are more knowledgeable in these areas than people with grad degrees and so on. And so bringing folks in, getting that engagement early and getting them involved, to which they can actually say, I can take part in this, I can get some help, I can get some money. With the President Obama's training initiative, he's pushing for grants to historically black colleges for cyber education. So again, that's part of filling that growing demand for skilled cyber people across the U.S. job market and also in STEM programs.
We just have a minute or so left, but tell me about what you expect to see develop in the open data arena. You worked in that area pretty extensively when you were CIO at the White House. Talk about what trends we can expect to look at and what items in when it comes to data that you and I should talk about the next time we get together.
Well, the debate continues with open data. It's still an evolving one, but I think it's indisputably here to stay. I'm a big advocate in making government data available to the public, increasing open formats and government transparency and accountability. And I think, you know, for us, what worked in White House, from the time that we launched WhiteHouse.gov, there was definitely a focus on participatory government methods to improve the platform. And so we really focus on using the Drupal technology. We knew that we wanted open source, and we wanted to build it around a response to limitations of closed proprietary code. We recognize, so again, I think it's more focusing on the main principles, things like peer production through collaboration, source code, documentation, getting, you know, we had things like we brought in hackers into the White House. And so things like that, it was really, again, a time where you start to see in open source communities, I think we're starting to see evolving around these team dynamics where they have a common set of goals and ideas. They're aspiring for something great. It's a community where culture is assisting. And people know not every decision is the right decision. So it's that type of thing where they come in learning from their failures. And so I see these communities building around open source and open data as being big for the future, and government agencies getting even more engaged.